Hi, Say.
Hi, Juan.
My name is Juan Vela. I'm a program manager with Santa Clara County's Office of Reentry Services.
And I am Say Miranda, and I am the shelter manager for Home First of BRC Bucaru Reception Center.
That's awesome.
Thanks.
So I think that, you know, and thinking about this conversation with Say, I think that, you know, right away I felt an instant connection to Say when we first met in 2019.
God, it's been that long already?
Well, she was in custody at our Almond Correctional Facility.
RCP.
You were in RCP?
Yes.
And, you know, I'm just so proud of, like, where you are now.
Thanks.
And what you've done. And so I think that it's important to, you know, share the story and just kind of reminisce a little bit.
A little bit, yeah.
So what are your first memories of that meeting? Do you remember?
I do. I remember like it was yesterday, actually. So it was the contest to draw for the reentry. And you guys came in, or there was a bunch of you guys. I remember exactly who was all there. And you guys just gave us a little spill about what you guys wanted, what would be happening. And then that was our very first meeting.
Mm-hmm.
And that was exciting because you guys were talking about the reentry center. I'm like just listening. And then I was like, I want to be there. I was like, I want to go there. So that's where the first light lit up, mm-hmm. and it was that day. And then after that, we met again when we had our pizza party.
Mm-hmm.
And then from there, it's been.
And one of the things that I can distinctly remember from, I think it was that second meeting with the pizza party, mm-hmm. is I think that's when you and I talked a little bit more and you opened up a little bit. Right. And I remember, you know, I think at that time you were an RCP.
Yes.
You were hoping to transition into the, you know, CASU,
yes.
Alternative Sentencing Program. And I remember when I left Elmwood that day and got in my car, I thought to myself, she's ready. Like, I knew it. Like,
yeah.
The way that she's talking, you know, and recognizing, and I just, you know, was like, and this is why we're here. This is what reentry is about, is capturing these moments and these people, and at the time when they're ready to make the change, and I knew it. And then you went into CASU.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I'm a little emotional. Yeah, that was about the first time we did talk. I kind of like made it like embedded in my head that this is what I was going to do. And getting into CASU and doing this program, because I'd never done a program like that ever. So it was nice. It gave me something to look forward to. Not just being out, but just actually doing something with myself. I didn't think I would be as far as I'm at now. But yeah, that was my first initial.
Mm-hmm. And I remember telling you, when you get to the reentry center, please, please, please ask,
yes.
to speak with me.
And I did.
And you did. And she did. And I remember, for me, you know, staff and as a leader, I think that's so important, right? To like, you know, to take the time to make those connections, right? I truly believe that, you know, the essence of the work that reentry does is humanitarian work.
Oh,
and, you know,
definitely.
It really is like making those connections with you. Because I remember when I told you to ask for me, you were like, I'm not going to ask for you. And I'm like, yes, ask for me.
Yeah,
and
I do.
If I'm available, if I'm there and I'm available, I will come out and see you. And she did. And I was here. And so, you know, I just, you know, welcomed her and congratulated her.
Yeah.
Because she was, the last time I had seen her was inside Elmwood, and the rest is kind of history from there.
Yeah, it's, you know, the reentry center, like, even now at work, I try to meet up with everybody, with the clients there, the guests that are just coming out of parole or jail, and I'm like, oh, you guys need these resources? I'm going to tell you where to go, you know, and I will probably promote the reentry center for the rest of my life. And it's nice because now I'm there to give back. And these people that are coming out, and they don't have no idea what this place has to offer. And so it's kind of like, you know, if you guys need this help, it's there. You guys have to do the footwork, but it's there.
Mm-hmm.
It's there for you guys.
Mm-hmm.
You just have to go get it, you know? And some of them do come, some don't, you know, and some get it and some don't. But I will have to tell you this. It's my one story that I like to tell. So I had to get someone staying at the shelter, and he was coming out of jail, and he was like, you know, going through whatever he was going through, and he was like, I'm like, I understand what you're saying. I can relate. And his response was, how can you understand what I'm going through? You know, how can you relate? So I looked at him and I took a deep breath and I looked at him and I said, well, how about this? I've been to prison 4 times. I just did a term not too long ago here in the county. I have been homeless, I've been an addict, I've been in recovery, and now I'm here. And he looked at me and he was like, okay, yeah, you can relate. Mm-hmm. And so from then, I've been an open book, even with the guests now that I'm a shelter manager. They come and they're like, they look at me, and then I know that they think I don't understand it, but I like to tell them, like, look, I do understand. I understand what you're going through, and you can do it. So after I open myself up, and then it's just kind of like, hey, we have a great relationship. And I will say most of the guests at my work will come to me before they go to the other staff. And I'm supposed to be the last person they go to. Mm-hmm. And I don't care, you know. being at the Reentry Center is the only place where you can understand that it's okay to have the past that you have and go to where you're going to go, and letting people know that this is where you come from, you mm-hmm. know. And I'm trying to get my work to look more on the lived experience than in the diplomas and the qualifications mm-hmm. and the degrees, because that's what we need. You know, we need more people to understand what this population is going through, mm-hmm. you know, and how, what they need. And you can have 10 degrees, but you're not going to know what they feel like, you know? Mm-hmm. So I'm hoping that my job will soon get that. And I thank them every day for giving me the opportunity to be there, because I was supposed to have a degree for the position and I didn't have one. But that director at the time took a chance on me, mm-hmm. and I'm now where I'm at, so.
Great. And so let's talk a little bit about that. Talk okay. a little about, like, your journey and, like, once you were in CASU and...
CASU. So I came out of CASU and I was at Evans Lane.
Oh, I remember that.
Yeah, I was at Evans Lane. It was an interesting place. I love that place now.
You were like a residential advisor too, right?
Yeah, I was on the governance there. I was doing the NA meetings there, and things were going good. I didn't have a car. I was starting all over again coming out of jail. Thank God I had a little bit of clothes left that my son brought me. But I was humble. Signed up for GA, living on, what, $150 a month. And I had to learn that it's okay to just have that much money and you have everything else you need. So taking the bus, coming here every day, and then after my, what was it, like 90 days, everybody else was going to the Goodwill, and I chose not to, and I stayed at the Reentry Center for, I think, 7 months instead of the 90 days. which was my choice, and that's what I wanted to do. I felt that staying here would benefit me more than going and making money and going to Goodwill, because I needed to change my mindset on it's not about money, it's about gaining what you can gain mentally and fixing yourself before you try to do anything else. So then that's when I signed up for the peer mentoring classes here. Mm-hmm. I did that. You guys let me do my internship here, even though we started COVID and all that got mm-hmm. kind of messed up, but every goal that I had made with myself was coming into place, and so I liked where I was going, you mm-hmm. know. So then after I graduated from Evans Lane, COVID hit. I was working at this minimum wage assembly, beating myself up every day, taking the bus there, and COVID hit, and I said, you know what? Callie is the one that hooked me up with Home First. And I had stayed in contact with the manager there because she knew I was in a program. I was very open about everything that I was doing at the time. She said, well, because you can't be out this late, let me know when you're done with the program. And then if we have anything open, we'll work from there. So I did call her and she got me in there, and I interviewed with them, and then I interviewed with the director. And then within an hour, I had an offer. It would just kind of all fit in place. You know, I was getting ready to leave Evans Lane, and this was just a great opportunity, plus a great increase in pay as well. So from there, I left Evans Lane. I was renting a little room in a mobile home for now. And then by a couple months later, I had an apartment with a roommate. Still working at home first. It was a great opportunity learning a new lifestyle. I mean, a new lifestyle, but yet a familiar lifestyle. And it had its moments. It was interesting. COVID was in full effect. We had our outbreak. And I was just learning everything I can learn there at home first. I wanted to know how to do everything. And so I did, calling you guys, calling J-Doc, getting people situated, isolated, all of that. And so by then, come December, I ended up moving into my own apartment now. So now I have my own place that I pay all by myself. I have no assistance. I'm making too much now. but you know, with the help of reentry, they helped me with my deposit, my rental fee, you know, and I still stayed connected with you guys no matter what. And then you were at J-Doc, so mm-hmm. I was still, you know, with you. And then I would always hear from Lynn and Javier, because I was still on the advisory board for the lived experience. Even though I couldn't make the meetings because of my work schedule, I was still connected one way or another. Come February, I got promoted to assistant manager. And I was just like, wow, I'd never been assistant manager for nothing. And I was like, okay, this is something different, but it was easy because I knew everything already. So I was comfortable where I was at, being an assistant manager, having my new place, great, you know, rebuilding my relationship with my family, having new responsibilities, and then still being, you know, sober, still living that normal life that I always wanted, right? Living the norm, going home and just staying home and being okay with sitting in my own skin. So that was going good, and I was fine where I was at. Come August now, they promoted me to interim shelter manager. So I didn't want the position, but they asked me to just do it. I thought about it. I said, well, it'll look great on my resume. Mm-hmm. So I did it. And that's where I'm at now. You know, things can't be any better than they are right now. For the first time in my life, I have money in the bank. And I even look at it like every day, and I'm just like, do I really have this much in the bank? You know what I mean? Like seriously.
Keep it there.
You know, like I look at, I do, I go on it and I'm like, hey, it's still there, you know? It's mm-hmm. still there. And it's something that's collecting interest, right? And so I'm like, wow, I really have this much in the bank. Like I could literally like buy a house if I wanted to right now, working with my credit and everything. I got a new car, I'm driving a new Cadillac.
Wow.
Yeah, it's nice. You know,
got
and
some Gucci glasses.
I have Kaiser now, so I have Gucci glasses. My vision's going, but I got Gucci glasses.
I see you.
Right now, I'm still practicing self-care, doing my affirmations, being grateful, being humble, and never forgetting where I come from. So now, I had my first meeting yesterday for the REN, the Reentry Network. When Javier emailed me about this, I had no—I still don't really—had no idea what this was all about. All I knew was reentry. Javier is something that I'm gonna want to do. Mm-hmm. So I did a little bit of homework, met with Pablo because he's also mm-hmm. in there, and filled out the application. And now I am first female, seat number 30, female with criminal justice background. So I had my first meeting yesterday, and you see, like, we're on Zoom. It's like Cindy Chavez, Ellen Berg, Lori Smith, all these Judge Manley, you know, and police directors and sheriffs and paroles, and then it's me. And I'm like, wow.
You're there.
I'm there. I'm in a Zoom meeting with all these people. And I was like, wow, I'm really here. You know, I had to get sworn in, and I don't get sworn in, you know. So that was really interesting, and where I'm at right now. So it's a new project that I'm doing. I'm gonna try to learn more, because yesterday was my first meeting, and I was just like, I just played it by ear. Mm-hmm. They threw me to the wolves, and that's where I was at. I'm very excited about attending these meetings, because just a little bit that I got yesterday, I'm exactly where I want to be, because I was listening to them talk, and they were talking about procedures and how things are done in the behavioral aspect of the jails, right? And I was listening to them, to the lady speak, and what she says is how it's supposed to be, but it is not.
Yeah.
So I'm glad where I'm at, because soon, eventually, when I get a little bit more comfortable and I know how it works, I will say, you know, the things that are not happening the way it is, that mm-hmm. it is. And when I left in 2019, you know? And so I'm excited about that, because I feel that they need to know that it's supposed to be like that, but it's not, you know? Mm-hmm. So.
And that voice is so important.
Right.
And that, so just for a little bit of context, the Reentry Network that Say is now a member of is the governing board for all reentry services, and there's yeah. I mean, pretty much every head of executive leadership of every county department and like community-based organizations is on it. So
yeah,
and I think that you know that lived experience and that point of view is like vital to the success of what we do.
And it was, you know, it was so interesting, because they were talking about the political part of, you know, the procedures, how it's supposed to be. And I'm like, yeah, you know, and now I'm going to be able to talk about, okay, well, it should be like that, but it's not. Let me let you guys know how it really is done.
Yeah, and it's that accountability that's so important.
Right.
We need, you know, as a government entity, and, you know, we're developing programming and allocating funds and stuff. We need our community
right.
to hold us accountable to how these programs are supposed to work.
Right. So I'm excited to see what programs they're going to think of doing, what I can give my input in as far as what I think will work and what won't. And so, yeah, I'm pretty excited about that. That's what I'm doing right now. And just dealing with the shelter part. You know, working with the homeless has been a very challenging time for me, because it's kind of like you want to help all these people, and you see all these people that are so much more than homeless. You know, they have behavioral issues. They need a higher level of care, and we can only do so much, you know. And so it gets frustrating, but at the same time, you know, as long as we house one person, or we send one to the tiny homes, or we send one somewhere, then I'm happy. You know, we did something. Mm-hmm. We're doing mm-hmm. something.
Yeah. That's awesome. And so I think that one of the things that kind of, you know, just to reflect a little bit, you know, on COVID, right? Yeah. So when Say was in the San Jose City College Peer Mentor class, she applied, interviewed, and was accepted to intern with the Office of Reentry yeah. Services, and then COVID hit. So it stopped. A couple of months later, I got pulled as the disaster service worker yeah. to then manage a shelter hotline that was yes. coordinating all, you know, homeless placements countywide during COVID. And I reconnected with Say
yeah.
through there, because she, in the meantime, had gotten hired at Home First. And so for me, what was so profound about that was like, here we are now working professionally yeah. together, you know, and it's like, and I had, and like, right when I knew Say was there, I'm like, I have an in.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, and it really did, because, you know, there was a lot of angst. It was chaotic.
Yes.
But knowing that you were there, because BRC, the Regarda Reception Center, it's the biggest homeless shelter yeah. in the county. So knowing that you were there just helped me.
Yeah, and you know what, and I love the JDOC team. I talk about them all the time, like Harkma and all them. Mm-hmm. Like we were just kind of like just this fine-tuned machine at the end. I mean, like, we're pretty much through the whole thing, you know? It just worked. Our system worked, and it's like, hey, it was just great, and it just was so put together nicely through the county that, you know, I'm not gonna say anything else, but yeah, it just worked really, really well.
Good. You have a lot to be proud of, Say.
Thank you. Yeah, it's been a great journey. It's, you know, and it's not over yet.
No, it's not.
We're good. We almost made